The United Nations Human Rights Council had strong words for Israel, saying the state of Israel is guilty of war crimes. It said United Nations member states must act to put an end to what the Human Rights Council calls a genocide in the Palestinian occupied territories, citing civilian casualties from military attacks and denial of humanitarian aid. Francesca Albanese, special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territory, said it's time to end what she described as Israel's untouchable status regarding international law.
Impunity. This is the key word to understand the barbaric scale of the Israeli genocide has taken. Since its birth, Israel has never been held to the same standard as most of the members of the international community. Israel has defied countless General Assembly, Security Council resolutions, International Court of Justice advisory opinion, and has targeted UN personnel and facilities, and also declared personas non grata without ever bearing consequences.
Albanese repudiated the lack of economic sanctions on Israel, the ignored judicial processes that would apply to other nations, the continued trade, and intact diplomatic ties despite Israel's overt flouting of international law. She called on states to immediately halt any direct or indirect arms transfer to Israel. She also called on the United Nations to revise Israel's credentials for membership in order to show that impunity will not be tolerated. She also called on Israel to comply with the International Court of Justice advisory opinion, which ordered that Israel dismantles the occupation and settlement of Palestine, as well as the control over natural resources. Last month, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Israeli Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant, in addition to three Hamas senior leaders who may have been killed by Israeli attacks. Margaret Satterthwaite is the special rapporteur on independence of judges and lawyers.
I recall that these arrest warrants were issued by three judges of different nationalities by an independent court who found that there were reasonable grounds to believe that the crimes had been committed based on evidence about conduct that meets the standards for war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Satterthwaite confirmed that if every person is equal under the law, the arrest warrants demonstrate that the same is true for both victims and alleged perpetrators, heads of state or not. She called on member states to cooperate fully with the ICC in line with Article 86 of the Rome Statute, which includes participating in the identification and sharing of information leading to the prosecution of war criminals. But she added, consensus among member states on adhering to Rome Statute protocols remains elusive.
I'm gravely concerned that a number of states have reacted in exactly the opposite manner, verbally attacking the court, its judges, and the prosecutor, at times in language that is entirely inappropriate. Officials from one state labeled the court as anti-Semitic. And elected officials from another state characterized the court as a dangerous joke. Another called the ICC a kangaroo court and disparaged the prosecutors in terms I will not repeat. Some of these statements have included threats of sanctions against court officials, and some have threatened even worse.
Satterthwaite called out United States officials in particular for making threats of sanctions against the prosecutor. She recalled one U.S. senator issued a threat to specific member states with military action. Meanwhile, the United Nations General Assembly held an emergency special session in New York to discuss the illegal Israeli actions in occupied East Jerusalem and the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory, and to vote on two resolutions to end the conflict and reinstate humanitarian aid. Both resolutions passed by an overwhelming majority. The United States joined Israel, Argentina, Paraguay, and a handful of other nations in opposition to the ceasefire and support of aid to Palestinians. Representative of Israel to the United Nations, Danny Dannon, voiced his country's opposition to the two resolutions.
Resolutions before the Assembly today are beyond logic. They defy all concepts of morality and the evidence we have laid before you for years. By voting for these resolutions, you are not voting to protect humanitarian values, but to protect an organization that has become a haven for terror.
Palestine's UN representative Riyad Mansour voiced his gratitude to the international community for supporting the Palestinian civilians.
They said, "We are grateful and thankful to this overwhelming support. It's almost unanimous vote on these two resolutions. This reflects the resolve and the determination of the international community as we see it reflected in this very important chamber, the General Assembly, which is the highest authority in the UN system."
U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood said in a statement that, quote, "the draft resolution on a ceasefire in Gaza risks sending a dangerous message to Hamas that there's no need to negotiate or release the hostages." Woods reiterated that 7 of the over 100 hostages held by Hamas are American citizens. He also said that the U.S. maintains its commitment to humanitarian aid regarding the resolution on the UNRWA mandate, but that the proposed resolution was problematic in that it, quote, "denigrates Israel's actions in Gaza without addressing the central reason for them, namely the October 7, 2023 Hamas attack on Israel." I'm Teresa Wersbianska, Pacifica Radio, KPFA.